have you all with us. Call your attention to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul challenges the church at Colossae with seven challenges. He says to them, first, seek heavenly riches. Secondly, he says, set your affection on proper things. Third, he says, put to death the flesh. Fourth thing he tells them is put off sinful things. The fifth thing he says, put on godly character. The sixth thing he says, let the peace of God be the constant rule in your life. Then there's one seventh thing. It's found for us in verse number 16. Verse 16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What are we to do with the Word of God? This little verse answers it. It gives us a direct answer. If you're perplexed or wondering what you're to do with the Word of God, read this little verse. It is a practical counselor on how to use the Bible. It says four things. This little verse teaches four truths. Notice with me, number one, Paul says to them, you're to have, with reference to the Word of God, you're to have a committed position. Something you are committed to. Something you are fastened to. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, all God's people said. Amen. That's a committed position. Doesn't do any good, excuse me, for you to have a Bible, walk around with a Bible, if it's never opened, if it's never studied, if it's never looked into, you cannot let the Word of Christ, the Bible, dwell in you if you do not open. It requires an opened book. It requires for you to see what God is going to say. And the way you let the Word of Christ dwell in you is to read it and study it and apply it in your life, all God's people say. Number one, I said you're to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, the Bible says. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That rightly dividing, it's the thought of a person who's plowing to plow a straight line. And the thought is, when you rightly divide, you're able to get the right sense of each one of the passages as you compare one passage to the other. So you're studying the Bible, you compare Scripture with Scripture, you study, you open the book, and it reveals to you what it's saying through the power of the Spirit of God, all God's people say. Amen. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, to reside, to inhabit your heart, to fill your mind. Well, you're not only to study it, you're to meditate in it, all God's people said. Amen. I've heard this example. Meditating is like a cow chewing its cud. I don't particularly care about that application. When a cow chews its cud, it swallows it, spits it back up again, chews it again. And the thought of meditation is to take it in, digest it, think about it, bring it back to your memory, and think through it again and again. You meditate on it. It becomes real in your life. Meditation is making the Word of God personal. Psalm 1. How many know Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You personalize it to meditate. Blessed is Leonard when he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, when he does not sit in the seat of the scornful, when Leonard desires to be in the Word. It's personal application. It's treating the Word of God personally. Because the Bible isn't just written to a broad spectrum of people. It is that. But it's primarily written to individuals. You. God wrote His book to you. And so, when you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you study it. Number two, you meditate in it. And number three, you memorize it. All God's people said. How many have trouble doing that? It's hard to memorize. The older you get, the worse it gets. Amen? You put the verse on a 3x5 card. You wear the 3x5 card out before you get it memorized. Don't put a verse on one side and then the other, because you'll never get it done. You'd be flipping that card so many times, you'd be confused. But meditation is followed by memorization that helps you, here's the fourth thing, master the Word of God. So you study the Word of God. You meditate in the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God that helps you master the Word of God. By master, I do not mean that you become the theologian of theologians. You can answer anybody's question. I mean by mastering that you're able to handle, to study, to feel comfortable looking at God's book. And so the Bible says in this verse, we are to take a committed position, not a know-it-all position, but it's a position where one's life testifies. Listen to this. It's a position where one's life testifies to the truth of Scripture. How do I know as I'm supposed to go over here? Scripture says so. Amen? Not because the church says so, because some person makes a rule about it. It's because the Bible says so. And so we're to have a committed position. There's a second thing. Not only are you to let the Word of Christ dwell in you, but listen to this. You're to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. richly. That word richly is, it's like loading a trunk with the most valuable treasure so that it's full up to the brim. It's like loading a trunk with the most valuable treasure so that it's full up to the brim. That's what it means by richly. It is, number two, an earnest desire. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is that what you desire? It's not a shallow participation. It's not just showing up on Sunday. But it's having the word of God opened on a regular basis and reading it so that you can apply it in your life. It has three thoughts. Number one, this earnest desire will help you have a personal growth. I can't grow my spirituality because I hang around with Eddie. I can't grow my spirituality because I hang around with y'all. Just coming to church is not going to grow my spirituality. It takes personal, earnest desire. A personal, earnest commitment where I decide to say, I want the Word of God for me. I want to know what it has to say. I want to know what God is trying to tell me. I don't know if I've told you this before. There was a man that came to our church back in Michigan. And his two boys, his daughter and his son, rode the bus. We had a bus that picked up kids who could not otherwise get to church. And one Sunday, he showed up at church. And pretty rough-looking character. And he came right up on the platform after the service and said, can you help me? I said, with what? He said, our marriage is shot, my wife's and mine. Can you help me? I said, you come and see me on Thursday. So he brought his wife. Long story short, they both bowed their heads and got saved. All God's people said. Amen. This guy had a drug habit. His wife did. His mind was just not well. When I started discipling him and giving him a verse like once a week or once every 2 weeks to memorize. Well, once we got through counseling and once we got through his discipleship, my wife and I took him out to dinner. And I said, Ernie, it's so great to see the growth that God's given you. And he said, you know, though, that memorization is so hard. I said, man, I know it is. And I said, how have you done? He said, well, not very good, he said, but I finally was able to memorize the book of James. I said, excuse me? He said, I memorized the book of James. The whole book? He said, the whole book. I couldn't say the first two verses of James. I said, have you really? He said, yeah, you want to hear it? And he quoted the thing to us. The whole book of James. You know what that man had become? A person who desired the sincere milk of the word so that he could grow thereby. Personal growth. There's a second thing that this earnest desire will do for you. It'll give you a positive outlook on things. All God's people said. Amen. The glass half full or half empty? Amen? How many know people that are negative? Doesn't that drive you crazy?
How are you today? I'm not doing so well. How are things going? It'd be better if I had more money. You give him $10, you wish you'd given him $20. They're negative. Well, Christians should never have a negative outlook. And when you have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, it will give you a positive outlook. It really will. So it'll give you a personal growth, positive outlook. Here's a third thing, a purposeful life. There's an old Southern Baptist preacher. He's dead now, gone to heaven. The title of his program that comes on, still comes on, is Life Worth Living. I love the thought of that, life worth living. Or a life with purpose. Christians should not be just wandering around aimlessly. We should set a course and stay on the course and go straight forward for the glory of God. It's a purposeful life. You grow, you fix your heart, you validate your faith. When you make an earnest desire to be in the Word of God, when you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you grow, you have a fixed heart, and you validate your faith. Write those three things down. You grow, you have a fixed heart, you validate your faith. All God's people said. There's a third thing. This verse tells us. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then it adds this three words. In all wisdom. You might write by that. The third thing you do with the Word of God is to gain a heavenly viewpoint. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is viewing life from God's viewpoint. All God's people said. It's seeing life the way God sees it. That's wisdom. It's to allow the Word of God to so dwell in you that it instructs you, that it changes you, that it makes you knowledgeable so that you can understand the way of life, the way to go, the way not to go. You will make proper decisions because you're looking at things from God's viewpoint. That is gaining a heavenly vision. Seek those things that are above, not the things on the earth. It gives you an understanding, listen very carefully, it gives you an understanding beyond yourself. Let's be honest. The smartest of us doesn't know a lot. Amen? Some people think they know a lot, but they really don't know a lot. God knows everything. My desire is to learn the Word of God so that it gives me the wisdom of God. It gives me a knowledge beyond myself. That's incredible. So that people ask me questions about the Word of God, I can answer them. Not because I'm so smart, but because God's so smart. Not because I'm so wise, but because God is so wise.
I gain a heavenly vision. It helps me to know and apply and understand the Word of God. All God's people said. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What's the effect? What's the effect? Write this down. A beneficial result. Something that benefits. Something that brings a benefit, if you please. Let me read it to you. Teaching and admonishing. Those two words are important words. The word teaching is the word didasco. The word admonish is neuentheo. Didasco is to instruct, like a teacher. If you were in a class, your teacher came in, began to teach a subject, that would be didasco. That's what he would be doing. Neuentheo is a little different. Admonishing means to bring to a challenge. It has the thought of stirring up in you something. It means to cause a committedness to a thing. That's a person who challenges you. Suppose you've learned a sport and you become fairly good at the sport. The coach is teaching you more about the sport, and he challenges you to do better, to dribble the ball more, to shoot the ball more, to play defense better, to just perform on a different level. That's what that word means. Neuentheo, it means to challenge, to stir up. When you get the Bible in you, and it's growing in you, and it's part of you, and you have God's wisdom about things, then you will become an instructor and an admonisher, one who can help teach and help challenge others to a godly walk, all God's people said. And anybody can do that that's saved. You don't have to have a college education to do that. Anybody can do that. So the thought here is to give direct counsel to others. Now this is great. It says teaching and admonishing one another in three things: psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms are the word of God put to music. That's what it means. Hymns are worship songs. Spiritual songs are more testimonial kind of songs. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Walking with Jesus. Trust and obey. Those songs. But listen to the application. You're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, it doesn't mean that I go to my wife in order to challenge her and sing in her ear. That's not what it means. And especially if you don't have a great voice, your wife may slap you if you sing in her ear. So what does it mean? It means to use your voice to express your heart. Write that down. You use your voice to express your heart. In 1758, a man named Robert Robinson wrote a song. wasn't put to music till 50 years later. But in 1758, he wrote a song. The name of the song was this, Come Thou Fount. I love that song. It's an incredible song. The first verse says, Come thou fount of every blessing. Listen to this phrase. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. That's exactly what this verse is saying. When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, you allow God, listen very carefully, to tune your heart. And it's tuned in two ways or in two directions. Number one, it's tuned toward God. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. So when you allow God to use the word of God in the way that it's chosen here, He's tuning your heart so that you can praise God properly. When it says singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, that word grace means the enablement to express what you could not otherwise express if you did not know God. No unsaved person walks around the world today and sings praises to God. All they do is booing, curse Him, use His name in vain. But those of us who are saved, God will tune your heart so that you will sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You will be enabled to praise God openly, often, continuously. That's why the psalmist says things like, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Tune my heart. I love that. But it not only means to tune my heart that direction, but it means for God to tune my heart in this direction. So that when I speak to others and you speak to others, it's like music to their ears. It's heavenly harmony. We should not be saying things to one another that would hurt, that could break. I've said hurtful things and they're hard to get back. They're hard to get back. But when you allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, and God will tune your heart so that you speak to others, it'll be music to their ears. They will hear melody, soft and sweet. Has any you ever been a little discouraged and someone came up and just said a word to you, but it's just how they said it. It's just what God used to speak to your heart. And it moved you, it motivated you, it even may have brought you to tears. I don't know. But that's God who has tuned a heart to sing His praise so that it's one to another. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Lord, help us to let the word of Christ
do its work so that we might be walking songsters to the praise of God, to the glory of Christ, and to the honor of our fellow man. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.